Hebrews 11. I'm going to be there in just a second to read you a couple of the verses while you're turning there. All right. I'm going to pray. You can be seated after we pray. Our Father, thank you for the Word of God. It's the most important part of the service is the preaching. We pray that we would learn what you have for us today. The time's a little limited, but I think we've been blessed, Lord, and I pray that we'd be helped from your Word, and you'd speak to our hearts in a mighty way with your Word. May it not return void. May the Spirit of God touch minds and hearts. May someone who doesn't know you as Savior come to know you this morning. Thank you for eternal life. Thank you for the greatness of the Christian life. Thank you for eternity that we need to look forward to. I pray we'd set our affection on things above, not on things of the earth. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Did you enjoy that video today? Amen. How many are going to come back tonight to see the other video and to hear another sermon? Good. Oh, three of you. Great. All right. I'll enjoy the video. And I actually haven't seen tonight's video. And so it's scary. All right. How many are going to come back tonight and watch the video? Okay, good. All right. Good. Until I get about 40 hands, we don't dismiss, so you better. But Hebrews 11 is where we'll be in a moment here, but I'm going to read you a couple other verses. And one's out of Leviticus. If you want to turn there, you can. It's Leviticus 25, but we'll spend most of our time in Hebrews. And the New Testament, Leviticus 25, and verse 21 says, "And I will command my blessing upon you in the sixth year, and it shall bring forth fruit for 3 years. And ye shall sow in the eighth year, and shall eat yet of the old fruit in the ninth year, and until her fruits come in, ye shall eat of the old store. And the land shall not be sold forever. The land is mine, for your strangers and sojourners with me." So Israel is told, here's a land, you're going to dwell in it, you're going to eat the fruit of it, it's going to be blessed. And he says, you're not going to ever sell the land, because the land's mine, God says. Now, technically, it's their land, they can sell it, they can, and there's rules. If they do sell it, they have to get it back in the year of Jubilee and other things, there's rules for it. But he says, don't get rid of that land, it's mine. And don't sell it to people who aren't part of Israel, because if you have to sell it or you're in some kind of pinch, every 50 years, the land goes back to the original owners, and there's a lot of rules there. But he says, the land's mine. I'm letting you be on it. You can build a house on it. You can plant whatever crops you want. You can say, this is my land because it's yours in the eyes of the law and things like that. But understand, I gave you this land. It's mine. You are strangers and pilgrims on this land. You're staying here. You're living on it, and that's fine, but the land is mine, for, this is verse 23, for your strangers and sojourners with me. He says, we're just staying here temporarily. Sojourners, it's like a vacationer is almost the term. It's a long-term vacation, you'd call it, or living somewhere long-term that's not your home. Let's say you have a resort home in Mexico and you stay there 3 months a year. Your sojourn in Mexico is not your permanent home, but you're staying there for a while. You're pilgrims and sojourners with me, but the land is mine. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 24, verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. This whole planet is God's. The lawn that the White House is on is God's. Saudi Arabia is God's. Everywhere in the world is God's. It's his world. He just lets us stay here and live in the land that he puts there. But he says, all the world's mine. You're a temporary person staying on the land that I give you. Now, I live in my house. I think I'll probably live in my house the rest of my life. And I like my house and where I live and things. And I'll probably be here Lord willing, the rest of my life. He might change that plan, but I think I'll probably be here a long time. And it's my house and all those things. However, ultimately it's God's. The land's God's. I didn't make the land. I didn't make the wood that made my house. My house was built in 1947. I wasn't even born yet. And you knew that, right? So I was born in 1980. I don't know what's funny about that, but it's God's land, and this is God's building. And now the owner, Mr. Olson, owns the building. We rent it, but it's sitting on God's land, made out of God's things He created. As the debate between the God and the atheist, he said, "God, we've got this all figured out. We don't need you anymore. We can make everything. We've got DNA mapped. We've got all this created, and we can make anything you can make." And God said, "Okay, let's have a contest." The scientist said, "Okay, we can make anything you made, God. We can make any color, anything in the world, any structure. We know how to make every type of material. We scientists mastered everything." God said, "All right." And God takes some dirt and starts forming something. And he says, "All right, go ahead to the scientist." And he says, "Well, give me some dirt." And he says, "Make your own dirt." And he says, "You don't have anything without God. God gives you everything. Scientists are just discoverers. That's all they are." And so God says, "The earth is mine. You're just a sojourner, a pilgrim here for a while. This is my land. It's all mine. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof." Then in Hebrews chapter 11, he's talking about Abraham and other great men of faith. And so they believed God because they knew who he was. In verse 11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. I want to say this: you don't believe God because you can see how he can work things out. You believe God because of who his character is. There are certain people, let's say I gave them $50, any $50, and I gave them to them, and they said, "I'll give you back money in a week." And in a week, I didn't get my money back. There are certain people I know their integrity so well, I would say, "I didn't get my money back, but I know something must have happened, because I know they're trustworthy, and they're gonna pay me back." You know what I'm talking about? You'd assume that, you know what, they must have gotten sick and they're not here today, or you know what, maybe they're injured, maybe we should call them, because you know, I know they're good for it. Faith is not seeing the way. Faith is knowing who you've believed. You say, I don't know how this is gonna work out, I don't know why this happened, but I believe him faithful who promised. And so it's a matter of faith in who it is, not the circumstances down here. Faith is really knowing who you're believing in. And when you know who he is, you can just relax and say, "You know what? God's got it under control. God's big. God's powerful. God loves me. It's okay." It's knowing who he is. People want to see enough good circumstances and enough clues that it's going to work out in order to have faith. That's not faith. That's sight. Faith is saying, "I know whom I believed. I have no idea how this can happen, but I know who I believed, and so I trust him." And so it says that. And then faithful people saw the promises afar off, it says. And in verse 13, it says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. They see things that are unseen, they see them a long way off." As Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So you can see things afar off. Now, I can't see heaven, but I can see heaven afar off if I want to. And so you see the things of God, you see the eternal things, that's faith, and you see the promises and afar off. And then next you see this group of people, they sought a better place, a different place than they lived in. It says, verse 14, For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had an opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. He says they're seeking somewhere better than where they're living right now. And they're seeking a better place. And because of that, they consider themselves strangers and pilgrims. It's there in verse 13, just like it said in Leviticus, it says you're strangers and pilgrims, or strangers and sojourners. Verse 13, at the end of the verse, it says, "And confess that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth." Now, a pilgrim is the term means a resident foreigner. That's what it means. Our church, of course, with our diversity we have in our church, we have people who are in all kinds of immigration status, and some are residents. They're not citizens yet. Some are here temporarily. They're on a work visa. They're going to go back. But we see that. And by the way, praise God, we have a new country here today. I think that makes 44 countries we've had in our church. We have, I just drew a blank, not Himalayas, Nepal. The Himalayans are in Nepal. Nepal here today. We're glad to have you guys from Nepal. And so the people are here, and they're maybe residents. They're going to be here for a while. Maybe some of them are going to go back to their country. Some aren't. But that's what pilgrim means. It's a resident foreigner. Strangers is an interesting term because God was told Israel about having strangers among them. And it was a term for a group of people who were not Jewish by birth. They were not Hebrew. Hebrew is the race. Jewish is the religion, technically. But they were Hebrew. They were Jews. Not by birth. But they wanted to live among the Jews, and they wanted to travel with them and live in their land and live like they lived, but they couldn't go into the temple. They couldn't do a bunch of certain things, but they were called strangers among you. And the Bible, God said, treat them well, treat them nice, and do all the things for them. Don't take advantage of them and treat them good. And these strangers were not, they did business with the Jews. They were with them, but they weren't one of them. They had their own land. They had their own people. They weren't to intermarry. And so that's where the strangers. And it says, you're strangers. You're people here who are saying, who are these people? Why are they here? And you're doing business and stuff. But we, God's people, are called strangers and pilgrims, resident aliens, temporary staying there, people who are there for a while but are from somewhere else, going somewhere else. That's what we are. We're seeking a better country. Have you ever lived somewhere you didn't like and knew you weren't going to stay there? How many of you have done that before? You live somewhere, I'm just living here for a while. Maybe even lived in a place, an apartment, you said, I am not living here very long. When my lease is up, I'm gone. You ever been that? That's the way when I went to Bible college. Beautiful Hammond, Indiana. It's not beautiful. Soren, you know what Hammond's like. Beautiful Hammond. I hated the place. I'm from the Northwest. I'm used to big trees and big mountains. When I went to that area, the Chicago area, there are no mountains. It is flat as a checkerboard. And you're either in a city, a big, dirty, ugly city, or you're in a cornfield. And that was it. You're in one of those two places. And there was one mountain. And that was the Chicago dump. I mean, there was no variation. It was flat as a board, except for right off 130th, off the Dan Ryan Expressway, there was a big giant dump on the side. I looked at it and said, look, a hill. I just pretended, just so I could feel good. And there was no trees. And the trees, they were dead like 11.8 months of the year. And they got leased for a minute, and they all fell off, and then it went back to being an ugly tree. And there was too much crime and too much traffic. And it was way too hot and humid in the summer and way too cold in the winter. And always this awful wind blowing off Lake Michigan. And I hated it. I didn't like it. I'm a Northwest guy. I said, as soon as I can get out of this place. Then I crammed 4 years of college into 7. And when I left college, luckily you're not very good at math. You would... No, that's not good, and then I left college 5 days after I graduated. I was on the road. I can never forget. I started driving west. Anything west would be good, and I drove up and I got into Wisconsin. Slept that night in the car. My family, wife and 3 kids, in a Ford Taurus, and a big old everything else crammed everywhere. Started driving west for my 40-hour trip. I never forget. I went through Wisconsin. In Wisconsin, you start getting some rolling hills. Actually, I took the southern route, started driving, and I drove through the top of Iowa. And all of a sudden, I hit this beautiful thing called Wyoming. And there was these things that grew out of the ground that went upward. And I remember, never forget, I saw this sign, and it said 13% grade caution. And I said, that's a beautiful sign. I didn't want to stay there. I didn't like crime. I had the junkiest car. I bought a car for $125. A 73 Ford LTD with the exhaust went straight from the catalytic converter to the air. There was no exhaust in the whole thing. Rusty, had little flaps. Rusty. $125 I bought that thing for. They broke into that thing to steal stuff. I got about 11 cents and a club I had underneath my seat. They broke into it. I mean, couldn't wait to get out of there. Couldn't wait. I was just a sojourner. I got out of there, coming to a better place. Now I have real trees and real mountains. And I'm in Seattle where I can be the Seattle person who doesn't talk to anybody, doesn't say hi to anybody. And everybody says hi to you. Hi. I don't know you. And our Seattle attitude and all the things we have with us. And I'm back in my culture, and I can drink coffee morning, breakfast, lunch, dinner, and become an addict and do all the things that we do in the Northwest. And no umbrellas here. That's for the wimps. We don't use umbrellas. We use those back east when it's barely raining. And all those things. Why? Because I was just there for a purpose and getting out of there. I did all that for one stupid piece of paper that nobody's ever asked to see. You don't even know if I graduated. That was a dumb idea. Why did I do that? And there I went, and I just said, got my piece of paper, got a wife, I'm getting out of here. Learned some things on Sunday, on the weekend in the ministry, and learned some things in Bible college. Learned how to sleep with my head erect, and all kinds of things, and I graduated. I left, and I did graduate, and I'm here, but my heart wasn't there. I didn't buy a house in Hammond. I could have bought one for about $35,000. Get what you pay for. You have to live there, but you know, I didn't get attached. Why? It was just sojourning there. The Bible says that strangers and pilgrims are where we're supposed to be on earth. This whole planet, your whole life, you're a stranger, a pilgrim, a foreign resident, a sojourner. You're just here for a while. This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. That's the attitude we're supposed to have. That's what we're supposed to think like. By the way, prepared that song before I knew I was preaching on this. And God wants us to have that attitude. There's a bunch of verses we could look at. I'm gonna go to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. Interesting phrase there. It says, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The word conversation, fascinating word. The word conversation there. Old English words change a lot since then. Now it's what we say. That word conversation, where it says that, the word conversation is politisoma. So we get the word politics. Or political. Our polisoma is in heaven. That word means citizenship. Your political citizenship is in heaven. I was in Haiti. And you know what? I love Haiti. I love taking a mission trip there. I don't want to live there. I don't want to live there. It's too hot. It's 7 million degrees all day, every day. The banana trees are beautiful. Coconut trees are beautiful. All those things. You saw them in the pictures there. I'll take fir trees and 70, please. And that's what I'll take. And not me. I like going there for a mission trip, and I like coming back. And I like going to Guatemala, and I like going to Taiwan. I like going to the Philippines. And I like going to Brazil. And I like going to many other countries. I like going to all of them. They're all fun. And next year, Lord willing, I'll go to Africa. And you know what? Africa is beautiful and nice, and like everywhere, I have to go hot. And I'll enjoy it, and I'll leave and come back here and be happy. This earth, you say, I'm here for a while, I'll enjoy it, praise God for it, but my home, I can't wait to get to heaven. That's where my citizenship is. That's where my life is. That's where my heart is. A few points on this, and it won't be long because of time. Number one, don't worry too much about your about your temporary body. 2 Corinthians, don't worry too much about your temporary body. Your body you're in right now is your shell. It's temporary. Boy, right now we just had a lot of people with health issues. Just a lot of people with health issues right now. I mean, I don't know how many of you have been in the hospital or should have been in the hospital in the last year. A lot of you. And a lot of you are like me. You might not be in the hospital, but you got these creaks and aches and pains that you found out. You have joints you didn't know about and muscles you didn't know were there until they started hurting. You found out all those crazy things you did when you were 15 come back to you, and you remember them in more ways than one. And you know, it's great. You can start predicting weather, and you know when the weather's changing, all kinds of things. It's you become a weather. You probably do better than the weatherman, and so you got this temporary body. The Bible says don't worry too much about it. It's just your body you're hanging out in for a while. It's not your permanent body. 2 Corinthians 5:1 says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle, that's our body, were dissolved, we have a building of God, a body and house not made with hands, eternal in the heaven. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven." And then if you go to 1 Corinthians 15, which you won't do, it says, we put on this celestial body, and it's incorruptible. You know, I praise God for my health. I feel good. I look good. Amen. And, hey, born in 1980. Don't I look good for that? This body, I feel good. You know, praise God for as good as I feel being 28 years old. But it's starting to break down. There's a couple issues. I think my hair is starting to thin. And what are you guys all laughing about today? I haven't got to my jokes yet. You know, I'm really insecure. I'm just going to preach from down here. But, you know, your body, I wouldn't mind getting a new model about now. I mean, this body came off the lot. It was pretty good, but it's got a few miles on it now. Too little duct tape here and there. It's a little too much super glue and bubble gum and duct tape and baling wire holding it together. I mean, the car's ready for a trade-in. Amen? How many want your new body and can't wait for a body that never corrupts and gets old? Man, one little thing as you get older sets it off. One little, all of a sudden you tweak your back and it's trouble. I mean, there's so many things. And now you gotta pay attention to how you stand and how you sit and all these things, because if you do something wrong, and when you're a kid, you could sleep on a pile of rocks and you wake up and you run off. Now I was tweaked a little bit. I slept. Now I'm walking this the rest of the day. I mean, it's just the body. It's nice to get a new model. And by the way, some of the people we love who have mental problems, some people who've been wounded, some people who have, listen, everybody who's saved gets a new body in heaven. And that body never gets old, never gets tired, never gets hurt, never grows hair because everybody's spiritual is bald. It never has any kind of problems at all. Thank God. Thank God for the new body. Don't worry too much. I know it hurts. I know, but you know what? You're just a sojourner. You're a couple weeks on a missions trip in that body. That body's going to be traded in, and you'll have the same body for billions of years. It'll never get old and corrupt. You're just a sojourner. You're just a pilgrim. You're just got the shell you're in for a while, and the shell's got a few cracks in it. Don't worry, it's temporary. Don't get too down about your temporary body. I know it hurts. I know it's a problem. I know it's a burden. I'm not saying any of those things. It is a burden. I've had back problems. I've had my leg crushed. I've had foot problems and knee problems, and it hurts. and it's not fun and it wears on you. I know all that. I want to say, though, it's just temporary. This isn't, and you're getting older, don't worry about it. It's temporary. You're going to have the same perfect body for billions of years, and it'll never get old. Amen? Amen. Number two, don't get too attached to this world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. 1 John 2:16-18. Don't get too attached to this world. 15-17, sorry. Don't get too attached to this world. I like a nice house. I like a nice car, I think, if I ever had one. I like nice things, and there's nothing wrong with that. But don't get too attached to this world. It's all going to burn. It's all temporary. All the achievements and all the fame or all the fortune or whatever you want, whatever you live for that's in this world, if you love it and you get too attached to it, you know what? It's going to burn up someday and mean nothing. Either you die or Jesus comes back. Either way, at that point, everything in this world means nothing. You could have 10 Ferraris and 20 Lamborghinis. You can have 10 mansions. You can be famous. You can be have all the money in the world. It won't matter in 100 years. Don't get too attached to it. You're sacrificing the eternal on the altar of the temporary. That's very foolish. Don't get too in love with this world. Don't get too in love with this world. It's not going to matter. It's just temporary, short, your fame, the things that draw you away from God, your pride, the things that are about you. Don't get too attached to this world. Number three, set your love and affection on heaven. Set your love and affection on heaven. You're a sojourner. You're a pilgrim. I could handle being in Chicago area for 7 years. I live 5 minutes from Gary, Indiana, and Gary, Indiana was a capital, murder capital of America when I was there. One out of every 1,000 residents was killed every year. That's not the odds I like. If I put those numbers in Seattle numbers, Seattle averages about 25 murders a year in 700,000 people. If you multiplied it out, you would have 700 murders a year instead of 25 in Seattle. That's how much worse it was. I could live in that area for a little while. I could live in a crime area. I could live with no trees. No, I knew I was leaving. Thank God he didn't call me there permanently. But I could live there for a while. You live in a junky apartment knowing you're just having a hard time right there, but you're going to live in a better place. You did it. No big deal. Because you knew it was temporary. But put you in that place and say, this is your life for the next 40 years. You might get discontent. If you think that you know what, that this heaven is what it's all about. Love, you love. The Bible says this, Colossians 3. It says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Set your affection on things above. Love, listen, if we had as much passion for one soul saved as we did for our dream job, if we had as much passion for God to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, as you would have passion for how happy you'd be when you won the lottery. Got to be quiet there. And I hope you don't play the lottery. Lottery is a tax for people who are bad at math. Okay? You say, I won the lottery, Pastor, I'm building you a new church. Brother, I've had that promise more times. You just tithe on what you have and use your money wisely. I'll be much happier. Don't worry about winning the lottery. Worry about taking your dime and giving a penny to God. Listen, but people get so excited about that stuff. And listen, if you get more excited if the Mariners won the World Series, and that would be a miracle, or the Seahawks won the Super Bowl, if you get more excited about that than you do about being saved, your affection's in the wrong place. set your affection. I'm not saying don't be happy. I mean, enjoy life and enjoy what God gives you. Enjoy the blessings. The Bible says it's fine. Enjoy your children. Enjoy your health. Enjoy if you get a raise at work. Enjoy if a good cup of coffee. Enjoy things. That's fine. But don't put your affection on this earth. Realize you're just here temporarily. Set your affection on things above. Next, seek and live for the kingdom of God. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Put the things of God first. Seek the things of heaven. This is a temporary home. I didn't put all my effort into Haiti. I didn't put all my life. I didn't bring all my riches into Haiti with me. I didn't bring all my treasures. Why? Because they're temporarily. I was there to do a job and get out and get back here. And when I go to another country, that's what I always do. I might be there for a job and be glad that I'm there for the job and accomplish great things. And I'm glad I got to go to Haiti and all the countries that I've been to. And I go there and put my heart and life into it and try to do great things there. But you know what? It's not home. Home is here. And you're on this earth for 70 years. You put your heart into doing great things. You put your life into this. You live for eternal things. While you're here, live with passion and intensity and try to see souls saved and lives change and influence people and do the work of God and give and pray and work and do all the things you ought to do. Live for eternity. Put your affection then. If life goes bad, if you don't have a good career, if you have health problems, if your family has problems or whatever, listen, you work hard in everything you have down here, but you literally, your heart is in heaven. Your health's bad, your home's up there. Your neighbors are nasty, you're just here temporary. The news is bad, and look, if you haven't watched the news, haven't looked around, this world's messed up. Don't get too into this world. It's a mess. And it's going to be a mess. It's not going to get fixed. There's going to be fault lines. There's going to be tornadoes and earthquakes and hurricanes and bad people. There always has been. It's a cursed world. In heaven, there's no tears, no sorrow, no pain, no suffering. But you got to put your heart there, your affection. Live for it. Seek God's kingdom first. You say, if I live for heaven, I would suffer down here. I would live without. I wouldn't be able to take care of myself. That is not true at all. That's a farce. That's a lie. I've been seeking God's kingdom first for 27 years. And, you know, I'm not starving to death. Never worked on a Sunday. Turned down a whole bunch of jobs that I got offered a job on Sunday. I don't work on Sunday. I see God's kingdom first. And you know what? I've always had a roof over my head. My family's always been taken care of. I have no debt. How you doing? I need to take care of my own bills. I need to take care of my bills. How you doing on debt? Amen, preacher. It's good. Amen. And so, why? Seek God's kingdom first. Put God first. It's interesting. We started off in Leviticus. God said, you go and don't work in the seventh year. And they said, what are we going to do about eating the seventh year? God says in the sixth year, if you will take the seventh year off, I'll know you're not going to take it off, or if you're going to. God says, if you take the seventh year off on the sixth year, I'll give you 3 years worth of crops. Now, let's figure this out for a sec. 6 year, I don't plant in the seventh. I have 3 years worth of crops. Are you better off not planting? You're better off. That's why people don't tithe. So many times I've had this conversation. It's God bless you above and beyond when you tithe, when you put God's kingdom first. When you put him first, God blesses you. And you might not see the correlation, but it's there because he says, I'll curse your land if you don't tithe. And so they do, I got a crop. They do not tithe. And they say, I didn't give her any crops this year. I've got to work on the seventh year. You got to work in the seventh year because you did not set it aside. You didn't bless. You wouldn't have had to work in the seventh year. Had this conversation so many times with people. I can't afford a tithe. No, you say that because you don't tithe. You give God his first fruits whether you can afford it or not. And just watch. You'll have plenty of money to tithe. It always works. and you seek God's kingdom first, and he says, all these things will be added unto you. I'll clothe you, feed you, I'll take care of you. You got to live for the next life, for eternity, for facing Jesus, for living in heaven. It's where we'll be forever if you're saved, rejoicing. It's what we live for. A very, 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 very wealthy man came to another family, and he said, I'm going to build you a giant mansion. It's going to be incredible. Here's where it's going to be right up here on this hill. You'll have all this land. You'll have all this. And it's going to be incredible. I've got all these crews ready to build it. We're setting it up. And we're going to build this thing for you exactly what you want. And he says, but you've got to live in this shanty right over here for 1 month. And this little house, this little shanty you live in, it's got enough. It's got a bed. It's got a couch. It's got a coffee table. And it's got enough for you to get by. Now, I've got a big chunk of money here. I got $100,000. This is for furnishing that house over there. Now, you can do whatever you want with the money. If you want to spend it on this shanty here, you can do that. You can spend it all. You can spend it on whatever you want. But it's yours. And we're going to build a house according to what you do with that money. Well, this family says, this couch is not very comfortable. Let's go buy some furniture. And this got a leak in the roof. Let's go buy a new roof. And let's go buy, you know what? I'm going to make an addition to this house. And they just kept spending the money. Got to have a big screen in every room. Here from America. Got a big screen in every room. We don't have an Xbox. We don't have... And boy, for that month, they just spent it and spent it and spent it and spent it and spent it. And their other house is going up. But it really wasn't all that glorious. Right down the street, same deal. The other family said, I'll sleep on this bed. It kind of leans a little bit. You know, the couch isn't real nice. Just put a little phone book underneath the one corner of the chair so it didn't, of the couch, it didn't tip over. How many of you use a phone book to prop your couch up? All right, my kind of folks. And you know what? This isn't too bad. And you know what? I can sleep on the floor if I have to, or on the couch. And they just saved all the money. Boy, the month came up. The first family went out and said, all right, let's go. We're going to take this nice dresser we bought, take it to the new house. The rich man came down and said, all right, go to your house. Not nearly as glorious as it's going to be, but there it is. All right, we're going to take... you're not going to take anything. You don't take anything with you. You don't take any of it with you. But I spent it on this, and I got this brand new couch and this just giant plasma TV. They had to take plasma from 200 people to make that TV, and they had to, and I had to get this and this and this and this and this. I bought this bed, and I bought this. This bed is cool. It's got a massager, and it massages your head, and it has air conditioning. It has all these things, and it's adjustable. And I bought this and this and this and this and this. And that's nice. Wave goodbye to it. But I finally got the remotes figured out for all the TVs. No, sorry. You don't get to take anything with you. The other person, they had all that to invest in their home. Their home was built more glorious. And they took all that with them, and they could furnish the house however they wanted to. That's what heaven's going to be. You put all your effort, all your life, all your energy, all your time, all your money, all in this world, and to have the right relationship. You date unsaved people. You spend your money on things that don't matter. You burn it up. You gave more to Starbucks last month than you did to Haiti. You burn up your money on things that don't matter. You think you have to have a TV in every single room. You don't even have to have a TV, by the way. And you bought a new Xbox and G-Box and 360 and PlayStation 64. And you bought 27,000 gadgets and 200 DVDs. And you have every technology, and you spent, and you got this nice thing, and this, fine. If you have the money, you save the money, you want to buy a nice thing, fine. I'm just saying, where's your affection? There's no U-Hauls behind the hearses. You don't take any of it with you. You're a pilgrim. You're a sojourner. You're just there for a minute. You're in this life for 70 years, and you spend trillions of years in heaven if you're saved. By the way, if you're not saved today, if you don't know you're for sure you're going to heaven, there's one way to heaven. That's Jesus Christ. If you're not born again, you don't get to go to heaven. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And if you're not saved today, we'll take the Bible. And if you want to know how to go to heaven, we'll show you out of the Bible how to know you're going to heaven. Because heaven's awesome. The alternative's real hot. And we want you to go to heaven. But you know, if you're saved today, set your affection on things above. Don't get too down about this earth. It's messed up. It's temporary. You're just there for a few years to earn a few treasures and to give to God and show me love and why you have this flesh and the ability to choose God and win some souls and pray and do some things. Then you're going to be in your body's new. Your joy is there for eternity. That's what it matters. You're just passing through. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, I pray today that we'd be people who live for what matters for eternity, for millions of years, for billions of years, for trillions of years, for eons. And all eternity, Father, how much do we sacrifice? Why do we love things that are temporary so much? Lord, they're just right in our face, and we live and set our affection and put our energies into things that don't matter. Help us. Help us to live for what matters, for who matters. Help us not to burn all of our influence and time and energy on things that don't matter. Help us not to get too down about problems here on earth, because we got heaven to look forward to. Help us to seek your kingdom first and see how you work. Thank you for your word that teaches us, Lord. Lord, one soul we win to you will be worth more than all the money we'll earn in our entire lives if we just spend it on frivolous things. Help us, Lord, to be pilgrims, strangers, sojourners. Help us to do so. And Lord, if there's someone here who's not saved today, if they don't know they're going to heaven, help us, Lord. Help them to accept Jesus Christ, their personal Savior, and be saved today. We ask you to help us with these things and show us through your word the way. If we're not living for what matters, help us to do so. In Jesus' name, heads bowed, eyes closed. Our heads bowed, our eyes are closed. I won't keep